Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunjabi Hari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana 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 Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunjabi Hari Jayo Mishnupada Parabahansa Parivarajakarcha Tadasattva Srishimad His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, Nama Acharya, Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Sega Host Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhar, Srivas Arigaur, Bhaktivedanta ki, Shishi Radha Krishna Go, Gopagopina, Shamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana ki, Shri Vrindavan Dhamma ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma ki, Ganga Maiki, Jamura Maiki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulasi Deviki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindiki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi. All glory see some of the devotees. All glory see some of the devotees. All glory see some of the devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Falgunasya male Pakshe Dvadasaham Payovratam Archayed Aravindaksham Bhaktya Paramayanvita Falgunasya Male Pakshe Dvadasam Dvadasaham payovratam Archayed aravindaksham Bhaktya paramayanvitaha Falgunasya male pakshe Dvadasaham payovratam Archayed Aravindaksham Bhaktya Paramayanvitaha Falgunasya, of the month of Falguna, February and March. Amale, during the bright. Pakshe, fortnight. Dvadasa aham, for 12 days, ending with Dvadasi, the day after Ekadasi. Payavratam, accept the vow of taking only milk. Archayet, one should worship. Aravinda Aksham, the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktya, with devotion. Paramamaya, unalloyed. Anvitaha, surcharged. Translation. In the bright fortnight of the month of Falgun, February and March, for 12 days ending with Dvadasi, one should observe the vow of subsisting only on milk and should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with all devotion. Purport. Worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu with devotion means following Archana Marga. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno Smardanam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Shakyam Atmanivedanam. One should install the deity of Lord Vishnu or Krishna and worship him nicely by dressing him, decorating him with flower garlands, and offering him all kinds of fruits, flowers, and cooked food nicely prepared with ghee, sugar, and grains. One should also offer a flame, incense, and so on while ringing a bell as prescribed. This is called worship of the Lord. Here it is recommended that one observe the vow of subsisting only by drinking milk. This is called payavrata. As we generally perform devotional service on Ekadasi by not eating grains, it is generally recommended that on Dvadasi one not consume anything but milk. Payavrata and archana, devotional service to the Supreme Lord, should be performed with a pure devotional attitude, bhaktya. Without bhakti, one cannot worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. If one wants to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be directly connected to him, knowing what he wants to eat and how he is satisfied, one must take to the process of bhakti as recommended here also. Bhaktya parama yanvitaha. One should be surcharged with unalloyed devotional service. So here then, we see that the solution to a problem here is pure devotional service. That there's technically no solutions outside of this. One has to worship the Supreme Lord. You don't really have any alternatives. I mean, it's popular. People will say that there are alternatives, but the people who say that, that's why they're here in the material world. You understand? So Therefore, it's just like being in a prison and then talking to the inmates of the prison, and they're telling you how to behave in such a way that you're not following the laws of the land, and that's what's going to get you out of the prison. You understand? There is no solution to the prison things, right? You're in prison because you're a criminal. So will acting like a criminal in any way, shape, or form improve your chances of getting out of the prison? No. You have to act like a person who's not from the prison. In other words, follow the rules, respect the authority, do your duties, you know, behave nicely, deal nicely with others, like people do outside the prison. That's the only way to get out of the prison. Does that make sense? So this idea that there is material solutions to material problems is totally bogus. Because the thing is yes, you may externally, seemingly adjust the situation that's more favorable, but more favorable for what? Right? So unless you are engaged in devotional service, that's the only solution for the soul, because you may adjust the material situation, but for the soul, it doesn't actually matter. You can remember Krishna whether the situation is nice or not. So it's not the situation that makes you more Krishna conscious. Right? Though there's a recommendation, it can help. But the point is it only helps because it's the recommendation of the things that they do in the spiritual world. So even we say, yes, you can make things nicer in the material world, but that's all only by following the laws that are coming down from the spiritual world. The culture, the behavior, the knowledge. There isn't something separate. There's no such thing as people outside the Vedic culture creating something that works in the material world. It doesn't exist. All it is if to the degree it's working or not is to that degree that it's following the Vedic version. It's that simple. Does that make sense? That's how it works. Okay, you have, let's say, a game. You know, like cricket or something. And, okay, so you have some children who don't know that this game exists. And they see balls, they see bat, they see this and that. So now, if they take the bat and start, you know, breaking things with it, then is it moving in the right direction? No, but if they take the bat and hit the ball with it, then it works out nicer. They hit the ball with the bat, you don't mind. If they hit your vase with the bat, you do mind. Why? Because that's closer to the actual standard. So that's how it works, is that people by their karma, by the modes of nature, may have good karma to have a good facility, and you only have good facility by following what you should do. So following what they should do means what's recommended by the Veda. Whether they know it or not, it works. Right? Things that in the non-Vedic cultures, then they're coming up with and inventing and discovering and all that, they were there a long time before. Right? It means that Europeans, you know, supposedly in 1492, then when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, right, like that, he discovered the Americas. But the strange thing is the people who lived in America had figured it out a long time before. But of course they're not given credit because it's not, you know, modern. You understand? So that's the whole idea, is we're defining that we figured this out, when no, it's always been there. Newton figures out the third law that, you know, that's accredited to him, but that's because it was always there. It wasn't not there, and then he came up with the idea, and then with a crowbar and a hammer and a, you know, some bubble gum, then he made the physics theory work. Right? And so it's all hinged on that bubble gum. So the problem is in those days it wasn't such great bubble gum, so they had to change it a few times as we go. But they're working on some really good quality bubble gum so that, you know, they don't have to change it for, you know, some decades. You understand? So the whole point is that you follow the rules of Krishna. That's the only solution. Now, you follow these rules and don't know that they're the rules that to please Krishna, that's called pious. Right? And even if you don't know that they're Vedic, you'll get the pious result. Right? But when you know that it's authorized by scriptures, then that gives greater piety. When you know that it pleases Krishna, then you get more piety, greater results again. When you're trying to do that to please Krishna, then greater again. And then when you're doing that not for your own benefit that you'll get from that, that gives you the best benefit. So, as Prabhupada points out, if you want to know Krishna as a person, then you have to follow these things knowing that it pleases him. Right? Because that's how it'll work. One wants to serve Krishna, how will you serve Krishna? Just however you like or the way he likes? Right? You go out, move around, you meet people. Now, who's the ones that you don't mind being with? The ones that do whatever they like, but including you in it. You know, like all the guys that come around, catch you on the road, and then they want to take all the selfies and this and that, and they take forever to take a picture that could take about 10 seconds, but they have to drag it out and cut their profiles and do this and put their arm around you, and hey, can we do it again? Hey, no, me also. And you know, are those the guys you want to hang out with? Or the people who come up and they're nice and they deal with you in a way that you appreciate? Think about it. Right? So that's the whole idea. These rules, we're taking it, oh, they're rules that get in the way of our sense gratification. We can't control. We can't enjoy. Right? If these rules are there. But that's the whole point. We're not the controller. We're not the enjoyer. Krishna is. So you follow his rules. They please Krishna. You want to be an associate of Krishna, you follow the rules that please him. You want to be your own associate, then you follow the rules that please yourself, right? And every morning when you go and look in the mirror, then you'll get that association. But if you want to get Krishna's association, then you follow those things that he likes. So that's the whole thing, is that seeing it in connection with him, that's Krishna consciousness. Then seeing it, that how it's favorable to him, how it will please him, that's devotional service. Right? So that's what's being recommended here. When in the beginning the Prajapatis then want to perform their duties, they ask Brahma how to do this. Right? Now normally we would think, okay, Kasyapa Muni, he wants to have children, he's a Prajapati, that's his job. So now he goes to Brahma, and then Brahma will tell him all the lowdown on all the technical knowledge and skills of how to have children. Right? That would be the natural, you know, approach. Right? But what does Brahma tell him? Tells him about worshiping the Lord. Because it's the attitude that actually makes something special. It's not the technique, like we said when we started the class. Because we think it's the technique that makes it special, that's why we're in the material world. As long as we think the knowledge and skills, technique, morality, these are the things that's going to make everything work out, we will stay in the material world. It's that easy. You know, it's guaranteed. You don't have to be in anxiety. You don't have to feel insecure that, you know, you haven't developed pure love and then you'll find yourself in the spiritual world where you really don't want to be because you want it to be about yourself. You don't have to worry about that. It won't happen. As long as it's about yourself, it's about all these different things like that, you will stay here. Easy. Don't worry. But if you want to go to the spiritual world, then it's got to be about Krishna. Is everybody there? It's about Krishna. They're not trying to be the controller and the enjoyer. No one. Not one living at, not even a blade of grass. Right? That's why Uddhava wanted to be a blade of grass, because the grass isn't doing that. So that's the whole thing that's being pointed out here by Kasyapa Muni, is that when he approached Brahma, Brahma told him about worshiping the Lord. The secondary things, how difficult is that? Right? It's not a big deal. We make a big deal out of it. People write books and magazines, and it's been discussions for thousands of years about how to have children. But actually, it's not actually that difficult. It's not that technical. But to have children connected to Krishna, to make your consciousness connected to Krishna, now that's special. That's the natural position. That's what relates to all living entities, all souls. That's the universal consideration. So that solves all the problems. So then here, then he's pointing that out, is that you follow this vrata. And what does it mean? It's about worshiping the Lord. And so then that's the primary element, is that devotion to the Lord. That the secondary elements is, yes, you're doing a particular kind of worship in a particular way, but why? Because those please the Lord. And you're doing a milk fast, because then and there, one, there's focus. You're trying to do something nice for the Lord, and by the milk you become purified. It's motive goodness, so you'll be able to, the consciousness will be very good. And so then you follow like this, but that's only supportive. Right? Since one wants to do something specific and focus on that, then this Payavrata is there. Otherwise, you can worship the deity every day. You don't have to just do it during this time. So that's the solution, is pure devotional service. That's the only solution to any problem. And when you see that, then you work back, the mechanics have a meaning. Because otherwise, okay, how does the milk help? How does this, that? Is that going to... Okay, by drinking milk, you know, then that will produce the children, or by drinking milk, it'll produce children that won't be, that'll be resilient to attack by enemies, right? Because milk is very nourishing, so therefore if I drink milk, then those children will be very nourished, so then they won't be able to be affected by enemies that, you know, you understand? This is the speculation that goes on the material platform when we try to work out these techniques without Krishna. And they'll be that absurd, that foolish. When the point is that Krishna being the supreme pure, you take a position that's pure, and that position that'll help you become pure, then it helps in relating to the Lord, because it's about having qualities that are similar to the Lord. That similarity gives you a basis to act in a relationship. No similar qualities, then what's the relationship? How will that work? So that's the point, is that commonality, that's what makes it. So Krishna being the supreme pure, you're doing these things. He likes things done in a particular way. You do it in that way. This is what will please him. This is what will make it nice. Does that make sense? So that's what you're doing here. These other things, yeah, you can get into the metaphysics, but it's not going to come by speculation. It's by the Shastra what it's going to say, the effects of all these things. So then that's the whole idea, is that the focus is on the primary aspects of serving Krishna and pure devotion, and then the secondary according to what's recommended. And why the secondary that's recommended? You know, the external knowledge and skills, because that's what pleases Krishna. So if you want to be an associate of Krishna, that's what you require. And if you want to stay in the material world, don't follow that. Does that make sense? Because one may say, yes, no, it's just about the bhav. But there is an expression of that bhav. And so those who, it's only about bhav, and they don't care about the form, then in the Shastra they're referred to as sahajiyas. They don't follow the form. Those who overemphasize the form and says it's the form that makes it work, then they're smartas. Right? And, you know, giving a name to those who say, no, you have to do it in this way, and it's not what pleases Krishna, it's not what's according to recommended by scriptures. That kind of smarta is really a problem. That's sad. Right? Does that make sense? You know, just as you have those people, it's all about the bhav, but it's not about Krishna. They're just sentimental and nice and pleasant. And yeah. You know, it's like that furry farm animal that's cute and cuddly. Right? Nice. So the whole point is you have to bring it to, it's about Krishna. Krishna has to be there. And so therefore the Shastra is then what's used to express that devotion that's about Krishna. How do I know it's about Krishna unless I do things that Krishna likes? And if I say all those things that Krishna likes, I don't like to do, it's not my nature, it's not my background, it's not my culture, then how will this relationship work? You're not willing to make any adjustments for someone else. And so guaranteed, your material relationships aren't going to go very good either, or either, whichever you're into. We don't want to start a, how you say, discussion on that point. So this is the whole point, is that if I'm unwilling to make adjustments to follow the culture that pleases Krishna, And I'm attached to my own culture and background. And that's our drive. Then where will you go from here? Because you go to those places where your mentality is. So if your mentality is in a self-centered, you know, self-absorbed thing, you'll take birth again and again in that kind of situation. Otherwise, then you want to adjust for, you do that. Because in the material, you have to do it anyway. Say what you like. But if the boy won't adjust to the needs of the girl, and the parents won't adjust to the needs of the children, or the government won't adjust to the needs of the citizens, they all fail. Guaranteed. You can look it up. So you're already having to do that. So why not make an eternal solution for doing this? I'll do this on the material platform because of the material benefits. Why not do that on the spiritual platform because of the transcendental benefits? So then that's what Kasyapa Muni is recommending here. His wife wants a solution, but he's giving through devotional service, through pleasing Krishna. That's how it's going to happen. And these other things will come. If one wants to know the mechanics, yeah, mechanics are there. But mechanics aren't necessarily the ones that are the inspiring ones for going back to Godhead. Does that make sense? Yeah. There were, yeah. Any questions or comments or on this? Yes. It's around somewhere.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Maharaj, for your very inspiring class.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. I'm currently reading the Mahabharata, and it says that at the time of Yudhisthira's reign, he used to feed 10,000 Snataka Brahmanas with fresh meat of boar and deer.
Right.
And so then also Bhanu Maharaj from Chennai, he gave me a book in which it says that the demoniac brahmanas drink blood, like after duly off bathing the Shivalinga, because Parvati,
yes, as no, we know, you don't need to get into the detail. What's the question?
My question is how can someone be considered a brahmana if they drink blood, whether they be demoniac?
So you're not worried about the snatakas eating the boar meat and the and deer meat. You're only
That's another part. Is that how? There's two questions. How is that possible that the snataka brahmanas can be fed? How can they eat meat? And then also how can they? Bathe the Shivalinga.
That was your first question. You already asked that. So the second question is about the snatakas. The first one is about the blood in the Shivalinga and those Brahmins. And the second one is about the snatakas and the deer meat and boar meat, right?
Yeah. Okay. And the third question is...
Isn't that
considered like contaminating the Shivalinga?
Wait, don't go off like this.
Sorry.
You've asked a question, now you're going into your opinions, your feelings about it, and that. So this is not a discussion at this point. It's a question.
Okay, thank you.
So stick to the question. Otherwise, we'll go on for hours and we won't get anywhere.
Well, I just know that Sukracharya is a demoniac brahmana.
Yes, but the point is it's a general question, and if it applies to him, it can apply to anyone here. We don't have to get specific, right? Yes. It means we have to be able to keep it on point. Otherwise, we won't get anywhere. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So, the principle is that you're dealing in the material world, you're following the scriptures, and so then the scriptures will accommodate all the varieties of mentalities that there is in the material world, all the varieties of, attachment. There is. So one of the attachments, and we know, so as we discussed here, that sex life is a major attachment, and then also meat eating is another attachment. So then Manu points out that if someone, according to the scriptural rules, that means a particular sacrifice, particular kinds of animals, particular kinds of situations, means lots of rules. I mean, heavy rules. More rules than anything that we're used to. So if one follows all that, then the animal being offered in sacrifice, there's no sin in that offering. Right? So that is because one's followed the rules for that animal sacrifice. So then we see that, but Manu points out, it's not that there's not a reaction, though, to the consciousness and to your situation, but it means instead of after the sacrifice, you know, after you leave the body, then you go to hell, then after that you'll take birth in so many animal species for so many times, for how many hairs are on this animal's body. So that's a lot of reaction. That's the sin. So, but it doesn't mean that you killed that animal this life. It's not that next life you won't be the animal, that they'll be the Brahmin and they'll be killing you. That will happen. That's why it's called monk saha. Mam means me and saha means you.
Say that again, Maharaj.
Mam means me and saha means you. So I kill you, you kill me. That's the meaning of monk
saha.
Monk saha, yeah. So that's going to happen. So then they point out that, so it's saying it's not a sin that they follow the rules that are there. But if one is, instead of doing these sacrifices with animals, you do sacrifices without animals, make vegetarian offerings and that, you'll get much more benefit. So if you're 100 years, you're a vegetarian and everything is offered to the, you know, the Lord through proper sacrifice, you'll get the benefit of 100 Ashwamedha yagyas. While those who are offering animals, they actually have to do the 100 Ashwamedha yagyas perfectly to get the benefit. So Manu already points it out that it's so much superior. So, and he also points out that in this age of Kali, you can't do these sacrifices with animals. They're forbidden, all of them.
In Kali Yuga.
So there is no such thing as these things happening. So Mahabharata will be talking about Dwapara and other yugas, not Kali Yuga. So you might see it happening. Because for them, it's just part of the sacrificial thing. They're involved in Karmakanda, they're involved in this. They're not involved in Karmakanda, they won't do that. So in other words, those who are on the path of Jnanakanda, they won't take part in the Karmakanda programs. But those who are on the path of Karmakanda, then they will. Like that. So that answers that one. Then if there's something that's there that mentions about offering blood to the Shiva Linga, then by that following that, it'll have the same law apply. And so it won't have the sin. But if there is no recommendation in scripture of that, then that's the meaning of demoniac, because they're doing it just out of their own speculation. So it's not a bona fide process. So Sukracharya is not a demoniac Brahmin. He's a Brahmin for the demons. There's a difference there. So we can see as like those Brahmins that tried to offer Jarabharat to goddess Kali, it's not recommended. They make these things up. People love to make stuff up. And so they think it's very nice. And so demons will do that, but it's not something that scripture recommends. It shows about how to do puja, how to worship Kali, and offering people's not one of them. People make it up. So, therefore, then, it doesn't work out so good for them. So they can do these things, but it doesn't mean that won't get a reaction for it. Like that. So that should answer the questions.
Yeah, and Maharaj, just one last question, is that you had said previously in a couple classes ago, that for how many hairs there are on the body of an animal, for that many years you have to suffer in hell.
But no, that means you'll take birth and be killed.
Okay. But yeah. My question is, like, I've only ever heard of that regarding cows, because, like...
No,
for example,
but any animal.
If you,
Any animal that's not according to sacrifice.
Well,
however many
where is that stated?
In Manusamhita.
Manusamhita, which?
The section that is talking about animal sacrifice. It's the beginning. There's 30 verses there, and so then within those 30 verses, it's there.
But then I have a question, like, for example, rhinoceros, they don't have hair on their body. And also...
It means we say we don't have it, but I mean, why get into that? It means if there's a rule for it, Krishna will take care of it. It's not that you have to work out how the hairs will work, you know. You don't have to worry about that.
Or, you know, like snakes. There's many people in China eat snakes.
What do we...
Or fish. Fish don't have hairs.
Yes, but what is it...
Birds don't have hairs.
Listen. Since when does it mentions the hairs, but why do we have to worry about how it works out? It means Krishna has a system. You don't have to worry it out. It's not that Yamaraj is coming to you and saying, hey, what do I do? This guy ate a fish. He's a Bengali. Now what do I do? There's no hairs. You know, it'll be scales. It'll be something. You know, it means Krishna's got it worked out. The point is when we say hairs, that's enough. We don't have to take it everything. Hey, put the kartals over here. Okay, that's these kartals. And these ones are this size, and they have a red strap. But I know that in the temple, there's other kartals that are a little bit bigger, and some of them have green straps. So they also go here? You know, and then when we're putting them here, are we putting them in between this line over here and the words over there? Or because the kartals are bigger and they won't fit there, is it all right if they go on the words? Or should we respect the words and should they go more on the lines over here? Or since they won't fit at all, maybe we should put them on the other side. So we don't have to go to that kind of detail. We don't have to do that. What we should be doing is concentrating on how we can connect ourselves to Krishna. So, these Snatika Brahmins, they're doing that. They're involved in karma. They'll go to the heavenly planets. Do we want to go to the heavenly planets? No. So we won't do that. So therefore, they do that. That's their business. It's just like if you're in the train station, people are getting on different buses, going to different places. That doesn't mean because they're doing it, you have to do it. You get on the bus, go where you're going. So we know that it's set like this. It engages people. They follow authority. They follow the scriptures. They regulate their lifestyle. So that's pious. That's good. But now, regulating the lifestyle connected to Krishna, following Shastra connected to Krishna, surrendering to Guru who's in the parampara with Krishna, trying to do things to please Krishna, that will take us back to Godhead. That's where we focus. And we don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You know, it's just like you go outside after, go get your shoes. You put your shoes on a particular way. Someone else does it a different way. You could stay there for hours, you know, contemplating about all the different ways people put shoes on and is it proper or not. Or don't do it. Just, you know what you do. Do that. What's connected to Krishna, you do that. And the rest of it, don't worry about because it's not part of your sadhana. So it doesn't matter. Like that. That's their sadhana. They do that. We have ours. They want to go to heaven, we want to go back to Godhead. So we don't do those things.
Okay, my last question is, like, you had said before that, like, the bigger the animal, the more hair is on the body of the animal.
Right.
Which means that you have to suffer more because there's more hair on the body of the animal.
It's not that it's more hair, it means it's bigger, there's higher consciousness. Okay, and so the cows they're the highest consciousness of the animals, so therefore killing cows is the worst. And then, just to give you an idea, it's related in hairs, because you know a cow is very hairy, right? Their tail, the tip of their tail, everything, except their hooves and their nose, I mean, and their horns, it's all hairy. So so then it's supposed to bring about that, you know, do I want to take 3 million verses a cow and be killed because I want to, you know, drop in at McDonald's? You know, or do I want to give that a miss?
So, my question was that, like, an elephant has much, much, much less hair.
No, but didn't we? We already discussed this hair business. You have to leave the hair business. You know? You have to give up the hairs because we already answered that. Is that Krishna has a system. Don't worry about it. It's not your job. If you're Yamaraj, then you'll know how it works.
Okay, could you give me the chapters to read on Manusmita that it shows
the chapter on the Pitri Puja, that chapter, that one you do. I'm not sure if that, I think it's the fifth chapter.
Fifth chapter of Manusmita.
Maybe the fifth or fourth, I can't say for sure. But the point is it deals with that. So you want to know, you go look.
Okay.
Okay, here, Narasimha Prabhu is asking for the mic. Someone else has a question, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You were talking about making adjustments.
Yes.
Or not making adjustments.
Right.
So what about devotees who make adjustments in order to preach?
Okay.
How is that? How does that?
Adjustments to how to preach?
Yeah, they make adjustments to their own, the culture of Krishna consciousness.
To preach.
In order to preach.
Okay, how to do that? Means that's an inherent part of the preaching process. But it's about, you have what you're adjusting is the secondary, not the primary. And your understanding of how that primary aspect of Krishna and how it's pleasing to Krishna in technical detail is being accomplished through the secondary that you're using. So if one wants to make these adjustments, one actually has to know the science behind it. And if one just does it because one feels like it or says it's better, then it may work in some situations and some not, because you don't actually know what you're doing. You know, it's just like the example of, okay, what are we doing? What do we wear? We wear clothes that are considered in the mode of goodness, right? They're clean. Like the dhoti is, you know, dhoti comes from the word dhota, which means clean. So the people in Bharatvarsha that follow the Vedic culture, they're known as clean. They're known as dhota. So naturally, the cloth they wear is dhoti, like this kind of a thing. So therefore, it's the cloth, it's clothes that a gentleman would wear because he's clean, it's simple, it's uncomplicated, it has that purity to it, it has, you know, it has the variety to it that the Vedic, you know, offers. It has all these different things. Now, if you're in a situation where let's say wearing a dhoti is not going to be appreciated, but still the principles that I'm maintaining cleanliness, I'm maintaining what's cultured, I'm maintaining whatever would be the appropriate thing for that culture, that's what I'd be doing. So it's not a matter of my taste in general, maybe in specific, you know, whether I want two buttons on my suit or three, that's another thing. But then the point is it's about what will work there, and so then you are maintaining your same culture by that process. And most of the time, you don't have to adjust so much what you're doing, it's a matter of accommodating what others will do as they develop through the standard. Because most everybody will talk to a devotee dressed the way they are, it's just whether they want to dress that way or not. It's just like most people of the world, in most all the world religions, won't mind talking to a religious person that's wearing robes. I don't think any Christian, Muslim, or Jew, or Buddhist will have a problem with this. And that covers most people on the planet. But they may or may not see themselves wearing that. But it's not that the priest can't wear. So it's not that, oh, the priest shouldn't wear because then you're giving the idea that everybody else has to wear. That's no one thinks that. When they see the priest wearing his robes, they don't think, oh, he wears that, I got to wear that. And when he preaches that I should, you know, surrender to the Lord, that means I have to wear robes. No. No one thinks like that. It means we make that up so that we can not wear the robes. But the point is that we can follow the lifestyle. Like take someone who's really adjusted for his environment, means, you know, and where the culture, supposedly the culture that we're, you know, the modern culture, would be Jesus' preaching. Shastra mentions he lived Dharma, but how he dealt with people, he was showing them Upadharma. Be nice, be good, turn the other cheek, you know, like this, be charitable. Upadharma means sub-dharma, less than Dharma, in support of. So But he lived his lifestyle. He dressed according to what was the appropriate, proper dress. He was a rabbi. He lived the lifestyle of a rabbi. And he preached, and his followers were the same. So then we see is that it's going on like this. But then in the name of Jesus, then Paul, he started to change the culture to make it for the non-Jews. And so he made it that you don't have to follow any of the Jewish culture, you know, any of the religious, it means nothing of the religious process. So it's only faith in Jesus is all you require. Well, we see Jesus talked about you have to have faith in God and follow the standard procedures that is recommended in Scripture. But Paul threw all those out, wrote his own Scriptures. And so it's based around Jesus and his teachings, but it's not actually the lifestyle and everything like that. So then technically, was that about that? Because Jews, Christians were interested. I mean, Romans were interested. So the thing is did it necessitate throwing it out and not following yourself? So then it's actually, was he as mature as could have been? So we see as Jesus was a much more mature preacher. Is that he was able to accommodate, you know, fishermen and tax collectors and all kinds of, you know, riffraff like this. And bring them up to a saintly position. So that's the whole idea, is that people will start at wherever they are. It doesn't matter what their background, what the lifestyle is. You get them chanting, you get them to understand that faith in Krishna and about the Supreme and their relationship, how they're the soul and all these things. And then as they practice that chanting and that, they'll become purified. So then naturally the elements of the lifestyle, then one becomes purified and moves up because they have the knowledge. So as they become interested, then you encourage them. And if they're not interested, you leave it. You know, it's just like the guy's wearing his regular karmic clothes at the temple every day for 2 years. And then one day he shows up with a chudder on his shoulder. You know, that's very nice. You know, you don't go, oh, you don't need to wear a chudder on your shoulder. That's just for fanatics who, you know, follow that mundane Indian, you know, kind of stuff that people do over on the subcontinent over there. But, you know, we're transcendental. We don't care about that. You don't say that kind of mundanity. You encourage. Why did he do it? Because he thought devotees do like this, and it's something he can add into his life. And it works very well. You know, I mean, it's just like the scarf around the neck that people wear. They're generally known as pashminas or shawls because they come from here. And that's what all those guys in the West are wearing around their neck. They're not wearing a Western piece. They're not wearing a neck warmer, you know, that is standard thing. They're wearing the Indian, you know, pashminas around their neck or an imitation. So they're wearing an Indian piece of clothing with their suit, with their dress casuals, with their things, and it works very nicely. So this idea is, no, it's Indian, it can't work anywhere else. This is very, very narrow-minded and very uncultured. Because people who know culture and fashion know that anything that's fashionable can fit anywhere. You know? It's just like a good cook knows that there's a technique in French cooking that I'm not using in mine. I can use that in mine and improve the quality of my own. So this idea is that, no, that's their thing and I don't want to do that. That's actually narrow-minded, not universal. Though it sounds bad if you say that, so therefore they'll say they're being universal and accommodating when they're not accommodating at all. So one has to be careful about that. That's why we generally follow in the footsteps and just do what the acharyas say, because unless we can understand what's there, then what we do may be based on our own conditioning and not actually on the conditioning of those who are preaching to, like that. That's where you have to see, because they may not have to do it, but still we would do it. And especially Prabhupada expected those who were leaders in the society on the spiritual platform, the sannyasis and like that, that they would always follow our lifestyle. They generally don't adjust. Like Prabhupada, he wouldn't go into Singapore because they wouldn't let him in a dhoti. So he didn't say, oh, for preaching. He just didn't do it. Others can do that. Others can go in. But he didn't. You know, so we also have to see is that there's something there, is that who's making the adjustments in their own lifestyle for the preaching. That's generally those on not on your highest platforms, because the higher platforms are for inspiring those who are committed to Krishna consciousness. In other words, senior preachers preach to the devotees. The devotees preach to the karmis. That's actually the system. So it's not that the senior men have to preach to the karmis. They may do it, but it's actually their main business is preaching to the devotees, because preaching to the devotees is actually more dear to Krishna than preaching to the karmis. But the whole mission is about preaching to the karmis, to bring them to devotees so the devotees can go back to Godhead. So the central thing is devotees. So preaching makes devotees, therefore then preaching is important. So, work? Reference for? Any of them. Krishna in the Gita and the Gita, that one who gives this knowledge to the devotees is the most dear?
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then when we give the reference, then we have to break the words down, and they don't actually mean this, according to, what do you call it? Who's our man? The German man? Our dictionary man? Max Mueller. No, he's not the dictionary man. Monier Williams. Yeah. I think, isn't it Monier Williams? He's our Sanskrit man. Oh, Haripo. Okay, well, who? Oh, okay. Okay. You have 2 minutes. Mike.
Hare Krishna. You keep mentioning how the primary is more important than the secondary.
Yes.
But the secondary is also connected.
It's connected. It means you can't separate them, but still you have to know which one's primary and which is secondary. That's why they have names.
A thought came to mind. When Srila Prabhupada started preaching in India, in Jhansi, the League of Devotees, I don't know all the details, but it seems like things weren't fructifying as well. So, and then when you went to the West,
right,
then there was so much success. So it just seems from my thinking that the secondary seemed to affect the primary.
Yes, no, the secondary is affecting the primary. Is that in Jhansi, the Indians, you know, following in the footsteps of Nehru, thought that the Western culture and the modern materialism, the non-Vedic materialism, is actually going to satisfy them and that. So they're like new crows. New crows, when you throw garbage, the new crows jump immediately. Like that. While the old crows, they jump down there and see most of the time garbage is garbage, and occasionally there's something good. So they sit on the wall and wait. And if they see that they found something, then they go down. So the Indians were being like new crows. So naturally, yeah, for that. But the preaching is valid and all that. They take the same thing, do it in the West, because the West has seen that it's not working so good. Because that means if there's anything of any value, you could say probably to the hippies, was that they saw that the standard culture wasn't actually getting anywhere. It wasn't bringing any satisfaction, so they were looking for an alternative. So when Prabhupada brought this alternative, they took it. While in India, then giving that, you know, in India it's not an alternative, it's the standard, but they wanted the alternative of the modern. So, but it's the same thing. He did the same thing. The whole thing of how community development and that, Prabhupada had worked out back when he was doing the League of Devotees, how it would work. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakura worked it out 100 years before that. So there's nothing new. The situations don't, because the point is it changes. We can say nowadays, oh, but it doesn't work like it did then. We don't have the drive. That's because now the hippies, now they're going back to being, you know, just the standard, you know, how you say, sold out culture. The culture that they left, that they became a devotee for, now they're going back to that. It means many of those hippies, especially East Coast hippies, they came from families that were in corporate and well-situated, and they saw it didn't work. They became hippies. They will look for an alternative. They became devotees. And now they're becoming corporate, and it'll work again? How will it work? Corporate makes money. It doesn't make you satisfied. Money can't make you satisfied. So therefore, if we stick to the tradition, it always works. It's eternal. But if we leave the tradition, and especially the principles that are going on there, then that's a problem. So to give up rules because you don't know, that's Niyamagraha. And to follow rules because you don't know, that's Niyamagraha. So Niyamagraha has to be given up. Then, as Prabhu was pointing out, then you can preach and adjust for the nature of the people that you're dealing with, but you don't adjust your philosophy. Otherwise, then it's just, we think Krishna consciousness is rules. No, it's consciousness. We're done. Okay. Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.
Bhakti Vijay Pranamaraj ki.